Hello, Dennis the Menace. I'm Stuart, lead singer of The Law.
Hi, I'm Stevie. I play guitar.
Hi, I'm Si. I play the bass.
Hi, I'm Martin. I play drums.
This record, for all intents and purposes, came out in September. Now, has it even been released here yet?
The album was released in September. It's called A Measure of Wealth. In the UK, it was released in September, but it's due for release here in the States in May. But you could download it now from iTunes and the likes of those sort of sites.
So you're here at South by Southwest. This is brand new, right?
Yeah, well, that's part of the reason why we've came over to the States, is to like showcase and let people catch our live shows, which I think is the best advertisement for our music, as the live shows. So I think we thought we'd hold A Measure of Wealth back until we came over and showcased it a bit and let some people catch the band and let word spread that way about us.
Tell me about the reaction so far.
The first gig that we done, it was in the Dirty Dog, and it was a last minute gig. We just got another one added to our 8 million. So the response was really good. I mean, when we started, it was quite early. It was about 2 o'clock, so it was obviously empty. And they put us on to like fill up the bar, and there was quite a few people came in. There was a good crowd. You know, it was like half full or something. And the response was excellent. We got people coming up after it and like asking for all the rest of the shows and everything. So it was great. You know, it was like a great.
So let's do a little, I call it revisionist history, because nobody really, oh, we're from Scotland. Oh, who cares? That's not the big deal. There's lots of bands from Scotland. But I'm more interested in the fact that this is not a new band. This band has its genesis in what year?
We got together and started jamming maybe about 5 years ago. Right. So that'd be about 2005. Martin, the drummer, and Simon, the bass player, they know each other from school.
Well,
they know each other from school as well. Stuart and Simon and Martin all know each other from school. I answered an ad in the local studio, and the ball was then from that point on rolling. And we just basically started playing a few gigs. A couple of years later, we decided, yeah, we should really make a go of this. And so it's been about 5 years ago, we say.
5 years ago, The Law got together, just writing, rehearsing and gigging round our own area in Dundee in Scotland. And then we got locally quite successful. And by success, I mean filling out venues locally. So then we started to decide to take the show on the road round about Scotland and the UK. And that all went very well. And then we decided, okay, let's go and put this on a record. Decided to record the album in the Sawmill studio down in Cornwall. It's an awesome studio. There's albums being made in there from Oasis, The Verve, Stone Roses, Supergrass, all those sort of bands have recorded. So it was a great studio for us to go in, especially because we were looking to capture our live sound on record. It's a very hard thing to do, but I feel with A Measure of Wealth we've managed to do that.
Dundee, tell me a little rock and roll history.
Dundee's an awesome city. It's always been a great place for live music and talented musicians, and there's been great bands come out of there before, like The Average White Band. Pick up the pieces. We've actually just recorded a song with a saxophone solo in it, and that was inspired by Pick Up the Pieces. But you've also got The Associates with Billy McKenzie and that. Do you know those bands over here in the States? Billy McKenzie was great. He was a Dundee boy. A bit of a tinky, we call them in Dundee. Do you know what do you call a tinky here in the States? Like a down and out or something, what do you call them? But anyway, he was great, and he ended up going away with supermodels and playing on Top of the Pops and that with his band, and he was just a regular little lad from Dundee. So it's always had people maybe punching above their weight. It's had bands punching above their weight for the size of the city. So it's got a good history for bands.
You chose to form your own label, but then you have a big distributor, correct? So what was the decision in terms, was it out of necessity that the big labels didn't come knocking on your door and saying, we really, really want you? Or was it that it was also kind of an aesthetic for the band?
Well, the reason that we didn't go for a big label was because once we got with our new management and we done a few shows with them, they then decided to send us down to record the album off on their own backs. So it was like working with the management, they sent us down to do the recording, and then we recorded the album and we were that happy with the end outcome, and that we thought, what's the point in getting a big label? We could do this ourselves. So that's the way we decided to go, and we're totally happy we've done that.
Yeah, basically the reason we've done it ourselves is because we've got really good management, and we knew that why go with a big major label when you don't get all their time, you know? So they have to spread themselves between like 100 bands that they've got on their label or so, whereas if we'd done it ourselves, we would only have to communicate with our manager, and he's had like 30 years of experience in the business, so he wouldn't let me put a foot wrong. So we felt we could trust in him and he can trust in us, and together we could do it ourselves. So there was no need for a major, and it seems to have worked out well.
Yeah, I think I think one of the main reasons that we came here is because we've, like in the States, we've got people like yourselves and that have been supporting us, and we thought that it would be good to let you see the actual show and like to meet you, all you people and stuff, man, that have been supporting us. And yeah, we're happy for that opportunity. That's why we're glad to be here.
Well, how do you equate Germany and this band?
It's more like Germany equated us. We had obviously after the record came out, we had interest from distributors over in Germany. So after they were interested, obviously you've got to go and follow up the album by playing a few shows. We went across in January, and we were actually pretty amazed with the response. We were kind of expecting to go over, maybe play to like a half full, yeah, totally, yeah. And went across, every gig was packed, and a brilliant response from the people, and we'll hopefully be going back over there soon enough.
Yeah, the German people were great. I mean, we had never been to Germany before, so we'd heard all these like stereotypical views on their personality and stuff. Maybe that wasn't so great, but when we got there, we found the German people to be really awesome, friendly, and they welcomed us with open arms. The shows were great. I can't big up the German people enough. Thought they were great.
When you decided to name the band, was it really for a passion for certain things?
The Law. We named the band The Law because we felt so strongly about our city, which is built at the foot of a volcano. And locally, that volcano is known as The Law. So, yeah, it's a Dundee landmark, so we hope to be a Dundee landmark as well one day. So
you mentioned the studio, but you didn't really go too deep into the producer, and you had a pretty darn good producer there.
We originally got in touch with Stan maybe about a year before we recorded the record. Stan Kybert, his name is. Stan's worked with a few big bands in the UK, and
we had a gig in London one year. I think it was about a year before we recorded the album, and Stan Kybert, who ended up producing the album, was actually in the audience, and it was him that approached our management when word got out that we were about to go into the studio. Stan approached the management and says, if this album gets recorded without me being the producer, I'm going to come up to Scotland and start shooting people with a shotgun. So because he was so determined to do it, we didn't want anybody dead, so we thought we better let them do it. But it was good. It was worthwhile. Yeah, it was good. He worked well with us. We worked well with him. It just felt like a good team. Very good atmosphere. He seems to get the best out of... Well, he got the best out of us, I feel. But the down points in him, sometimes we had to poke him with a cattle prod to get him up in the morning.
I think a big thing about where we recorded the Measure of Wealth as well was the location. It was the Sawmill Studios in Cornwall, and it was like right on the southern tip of Britain, and you drive down the nearest road to the studio is like half a mile away. You have to walk along a train track or get on a little boat, and it's like a tidal river, so if you go to the pub or anything, you've got to catch the tide or you don't get home. And yeah, so it kind of kept us out of trouble and stuff as well, and also sometimes it kept us in trouble. And yeah, so it was, the location was a big thing as well. It was a great studio.
The band seems to, I mean, it's kind of interesting because there's some bands like, oh, we're getting together, but you really have thought about a lot of things, or you've had a lot of help thinking about a lot of things, like that their logo of yours.
It's just actually similar to the way we met Stan, but John Pash, he designed obviously the famous Tongue and Lips for the Rolling Stones. He contacted us via MySpace. He'd heard a couple of our tunes and offered his services in designing a logo. And obviously our management took hold of that, and he started sending up drafts of it, and he's like, we like this part, we don't like this part. And so eventually we've ended up with the logo that we've got, and it was just a great privilege and an honour to work with somebody who has worked with the Rolling Stones.
Do you want to take over the world? Because there are some bands that are very, very content to play to 75 people all their lives, and they do, and they make careers of it. There are some bands that aspire to be playing Wembley Stadium every day of their life, and it never happens, and they end up, you know, killing themselves. And then there are some bands who just are meant to do it, and they really don't expect to, and it happens.
We started off this band to just write and record music, and I think as long as we're writing and recording, obviously the logical step is to keep obviously stepping up. Recording costs money. And so does, you've got to afford yourself the time as well. I mean, if you're not making an income off it, you've got to go and find other means. So yeah, I mean, hopefully we could, but it's all about how good you are as well. I mean, if you're writing the good material, obviously you're gonna make that step.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread and songs by other artists in between.